In August 2008, inmate Christopher Robinson, who was 18, was beaten to death in his cell by other inmates at Rikers Island Prison in New York. He was in the notorious cell block 1 Main, which is part of the jail's juvenile facility. The death wasn't so unusual. Unfortunately, Rikers has a history of fatal inmate-on-inmate violence. But what got the attention of the press and then the justice system was how it was allegedly allowed to happen. Guards had been running something called the program, where they allegedly deputized inmates to keep order and beat other inmates if they stepped out of line. In an article in New York Magazine, Jeffrey Gray looks at the program. And Jeff, tell us more about it.
The program is a name that sort of evolved inside the housing unit of the most dangerous facility on Rikers Island, which is the adolescent jail. It was this sort of loose system of rules where guards would farm out or delegate inmates to enforce order in the housing area. So they called it the program, and if you played by the rules, you were with it, and if you were not with it, you were subject to punishment. Namely beatdowns, or spankings, they called them.
Why would the guards do this?
Well, allegedly, you know, and I should say allegedly because in this case there is a trial upcoming, and the program will be put on trial. So it is the alleged program for now. But what happened is, and from my sources and my reporting, is that the conditions inside the jail became this perfect storm, where guards felt that they were outmatched and outnumbered. There's been a lot of budget cuts. And people, agencies throughout the nation are being forced to scale back on things. Now, there's also another thing that's happening, which is that the kind of guards are changing. Guards that were used to a sort of keep you in line kind of brutal.
Yeah, streetwise.
Streetwise guards or guards who had real true experience. A lot of them have retired now. And in their place are a new crop of rookies who do not necessarily have that experience. And also, too, increasing number of female guards. Now, in Rikers, the numbers are roughly 50-50 now. And a lot of female guards, according to my sources, are actually very savvy in dealing with young inmates, but others can be physically outmatched. So it was an atmosphere where they I think a lot of them felt that they couldn't truly control. And they couldn't necessarily exert the kind of physical force needed to control because they would suffer repercussions.
And these guards are getting injured, and there's violence every day at Rikers. It sounds like in your article you say some of the kids are fashioning toothbrushes into knives.
The jail is becoming a more violent place, especially in recent years. I mean, we had a situation on Rikers Island a couple months ago where an officer had his thumb bitten off. We had a situation where another captain nearly died after getting into a fight with young inmates. And these are the most high-risk population because they're adolescents. They don't have any experience. They have a lot of adrenaline. And most of all, they have invincibility complexes. It's an extremely a population that can explode.
Well, let's talk about one of those explosions that led to the death of inmate Christopher Robinson. And he was beaten to death by his fellow inmates. Tell me the chain of events that led to Christopher Robinson's death and how the guard was allegedly involved.
Right. There's a lot of mysteries in this story, and there's a lot of mysteries that follow out of Robinson's death. And one of them is how Robinson, an 18-year-old kid, could be beaten to death within his cell in broad daylight in one of the most guarded, monitored spaces that we know of. One of the guards charged with a sort of the enterprise corruption statute, which is what prosecutors are using in this case, was actually not even in the facility when the murder occurred. He was actually at home on vacation. But he's charged with it's like a state version of RICO. Prosecutors in the Bronx believe that the quote-unquote alleged program was so organized and so well-run that it was like a gang, and that prison guards were the gang leaders. And he and others created an atmosphere where inmates had become foot soldiers. They had to fulfill orders or else they would be punished. And one of those orders is to fight. And one of those orders is to beat others. And to beat others for their commissary, for their sometimes their clothes, sometimes for telephone privileges, anything with value within Rikers.
Well, what measures did Rikers Island take to destroy the program following Christopher Robinson's death? That's when it all came to light.
Right. After Robinson's death, the commissioner, then Marty Horn, put together these sort of roving teams of officers that using overtime pay would sort of, without a pattern, try to explore the different housing units and just kind of show up and sort of become these sort of like, you know, surge teams. Surge is a big popular word in law enforcement now. These surge teams that would go in.
To spot check.
Spot check, or just to be these, you know, a safeguard to prevent these housing areas from cultivating, because when you're there day and night, 16 hours a day in a housing area with somebody, it becomes like a small little, almost like an ecosystem. So these teams were designed to break that up, but using overtime pay, they're extraordinarily expensive and no longer exist. One of the things that's been done recently is that a punitive segregation unit has been added within the actual facility, not necessarily its own building. And that was sort of an issue in the case, because instead of being punished properly and sent to its own unit, inmates are now punished within their unit instead of being herded together in a different area.
Is it your impression that this kind of behavior is widespread in other prisons besides Rikers? I mean, did you hear of other systems like the program turning up in other prisons?
I think what's natural to corrections, and it probably exists in prisons and jails throughout the country, is what former Commissioner Horn calls the devil's bargain. I think that there are wise correction officers who use inmates as a way to get information about other problematic inmates and as a way to make their lives easier. What's extraordinary about this case is that using inmates to just make sure everybody gets along and just to keep order is different than cell doors opening in the middle of the night and 6 18-year-old kids coming in and beating you. You
know, being let out by their prison guards.
It's only one way to open the cell doors. What's truly frightening about this situation is that for years, this is a pattern of complaints. And inmates have complained in lawsuits and in the correction records, at least the ones that I was able to obtain, that this was going on for years.
Jeff Gray is a contributing editor at New York Magazine. Jeff, thanks for being with us.
Cool. Thank you.